Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on? We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
9.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll drink a toast into the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday time.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
This is your fault.
Jam on. And today we celebrate fall on a Bad Choice Friday, as tomorrow is September 21st, and then on Sunday it is the first day of fall, so we bring you the mamas and the papas.
All the leaves are brown, and the sky is gray, and the sky is gray. I came for a
Mamas and the Papas and California Dreamin', taking on Earth, Wind, and Fire. Vote now if you follow us on Twitter at Men's Room Live. One of those two tunes coming up right after we drink a toast with a shot of the day.
Yeah.
I love that bass player.
One of those two tunes.
They did an interview with the guy that plays bass for Earth, Wind, and Fire, right?
Yeah.
And it was like in Guitar World or Bass Magazine. And anytime you talk to these guys, it's all about gear. And what kind of gear do you use? And they'll tell you down to, you know, I use these amps, man, this guitar, these strings. Every question they ask, this guy's like, yeah, I don't know, man.
Cool.
They're like, what company amps do you play? Like, I don't know, man. Rhodey set it up. It's like, you hand me a bass, I plug it in, I get funky. I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, my man.
Don't make it complicated.
Yeah.
This is also going to shock you, Miles. The voting, a little one-sided.
Is it really? Mamas and the Pops coming up.
You feel it?
Our question, how did you almost die? 206-803-RUN.
Piggybacking on a call for that Cheyenne made earlier, says, not me, but my wife. When she was born, she was 2 weeks overdue. My new mother-in-law was unable to do anything. Then they had to do an emergency C-section, but both were nearly lost due to the doctor being drunk. And my now wife Jesus. Was rushed to the NICU because of multiple seizures, resulting in her having cerebral palsy.
Wow.
I did not know that that's the cause of cerebral palsy. So, Cheyenne, at least thank you for giving me the education. Okay. That's terrifying. And then there's one just says, I went snowboarding one time at Mount Baker, and I decided to go out of bounds. What do you think happened, Ted?
Hit a tree.
Probably fell in a ravine.
Or a tree well.
That's where I thought this was going. I got lost for 2 days and thought I was going to die.
Man, you never hear a positive backcountry story. I mean, if they're bringing it up, if someone goes and just does backcountry stuff and they make it back, no story.
Yeah, it doesn't
it's
come up
for the day. But if not, man, it's never a good story.
People are so good, they want to test themselves.
Sure, sure.
But I mean, right, that's just, it's like, all right, you can go out of bounds, but you know what you're getting into. Like, no offense, but like, this isn't being out of bounds on a golf course.
Right. This is dangerous.
Well, and you forget, too, that like, when you go skiing or snowboarding, you're just paying for the ski lifts.
Yeah, that's it.
You could hike up any of them if you wanted to. So it's like, I think sometimes people get too comfortable and forget, like, this is wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Covered in snow with rocks and trees.
There's a reason there's not a slope there. How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Bernice. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hola.
Right up. Yes. Crazy thing. Having to do with females. stuff. Anywho, well, first of all, he forgot to ask. I'm not sober, but partially.
We don't ask every day. No, just on Thursdays during Big Dummy, but thanks for letting us know.
Yeah. Oh, God, thanks, guys. Anyway, horrible story. Routine surgery, my daughters say, no problem, Mom, don't worry. I go in for a 24-hour, let's get that uterus pulled out through the vagina kind of deal. No scars, no trouble, right?
Would that be a hysterectomy?
Pardon me?
Is that a hysterectomy?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
I think we could call it that.
Radio. Sucker. Mother.
Wow. And more trouble than it's worth.
Denied when calling.
Correct.
Now back to the program.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So I barely remember from what I was told. All I remember was what happened. I was 7 years old, walking out to the bus stop, waiting for the bus, and I was hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, man. Jesus.
Yeah, and so I was in a small town called Shelton, and the hospital isn't the best, and so they had to take me to another school. I was covered in sheets because they didn't want any of the kids on the school bus to see my body. And I was flown to Harborview from an elementary school I had passed on twice in the helicopter. And all I really remember is waking up in a hospital bed.
I mean, that's fair. I don't expect you to remember a lot of things when you're dead.
Were you crossing the street to get to the bus stop, or were you standing at the bus stop when you were hit?
From what I was told, I was in a driveway tying my shoes. And, like, they got back into me, and he just kept driving while I was still attached to his truck.
Oh, so he didn't stop?
No, the only reason why he stopped is because he saw me in the mirror.
But he did eventually stop?
Yeah.
Okay. And did he try to assist you? So you don't remember if he tried to assist you or not?
No, this is like, he was old. He was like 70 years old.
Oh, I don't care how old you are. If you're able to walk and drive, you should be able to help somebody.
And how old were you at the time? I know it's elementary school, but what age?
I was seven.
Seven. All right. So do they tell when you get on the good side of things, do they tell you then that you died twice, or is it something your parents wait until you get a little older to share that info?
They told me right then and there.
All right. And as a seven-year-old, being that I've never had that personal experience, like, what goes through your mind when your parents say, like, hey, man, you died twice? Or as a kid, are you just like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right. You know, I was like, you know, I didn't even remember any of it. I don't remember being in a helicopter at all whatsoever. And it wasn't the outcome of what happened. Like, the hospital didn't.
Hey, man, John, your phone is breaking up.
See, that's what sucks. You take a hospital, you take a helicopter to the hospital. Most people have never ridden in a helicopter before, let alone landed on top of a roof in a major metropolitan area.
Sure.
That would be a flight that you would like to take in and somewhat enjoy. As far as just being able to look around and see the sights and
but not that
you're landing
flight.
On a building.
Not that one.
You're not. Anybody who takes that flight, for the most part, has no idea how they even got there.
Yeah, that's the thing. The one helicopter ride you had, you probably don't remember it.
No.
I've done it twice now. I don't want to do it again, which means I'll do it again.
Yeah,
because that's how it happened.
I did it once as a kid. I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I did the one in Hawaii because I wanted to do that. My wife wanted to do the submarine thing. And I will say this. I enjoyed the submarine much more than I enjoyed the helicopter. But when we were done with the helicopter ride, I told my wife, I'm like, man, I'm never doing that again. Which I'm old enough to know, don't ever say that. So fast forward, we have kids, we're going to Niagara Falls, and one of the places they stop on the way, it's another helicopter thing.
Yeah.
And it was reasonably affordable. The kids are super excited, so I'm like, here we go. The thing I said I wouldn't do it. And they got to ride in the front, by the way, which kind of pissed me off.
Well, you saw the one in New Mexico. I saw one in Pennsylvania when I was, I don't know, 20.
Oh, the helicopter landing?
21 years old. They landed on the highway, and it was a NASCAR pit stop. I mean, they touched down, and I was probably a fourth of a mile back in traffic, enough to where I could still see the helicopter come down, and then basically it was there for maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, boom, right back up, and it was gone.
It was
fast.
Like, the neighborhood I grew up in, College Park, right? Like, if you played Boys and Girls Club, like, down the street, down Rhode Island Avenue from me, was, like, the fields we played on. But, like, The Capitol Beltway is right there. There's a lot of population. So, unfortunately, if there was bad accidents, like that, that was where they would always land right there. So, as a kid, like if you heard that thing even close, you'd sprint down there.
And we couldn't figure it out. We were driving this like a year and a half ago, I guess, visiting my parents in New Mexico, and we're on the way there. And when you drive through New Mexico, man, everyone's going 100 miles an hour. There is, not when you get to the cities, but I mean on the highway, there's nobody out there, basically. And so we're going anywhere from 95 to 100 miles an hour the whole time. Everybody is. And we see there is a random person. This is a civilian. It's not a cop. It's like asking people to slow down, pull over, whatever. So traffic kind of comes to a stop. We don't know why, but because the accident's a little farther down the road. All right. And we hear a helicopter and we're looking around. We can't see it. And then when we look through the sunroof, like this thing's above us and it landed on the medium directly outside of the passenger side. And I remember the wash from it because it blew all the gravel and dirt and all this crap on the car. I mean, it was crazy. You're not moving. We see the guys get out. They run down, and it was a little girl. She was injured, but the good news is she was just injured, okay? So they get her on the helicopter. Like you said, Miles, it does not take them long.
No.
They get her ass on there. They take off, so no traffic can move again. This is the part that was disturbing, only because we had our kids in the car. We managed to distract them before they noticed. So the helicopter landed, because you're getting the survivors that are injured. And there's one little girl. And then as we started driving off, you know, before you can get back up to speed, you're going like 15, 20 miles an hour, out of the window, we saw sheets, bloody sheets covering just two bodies.
Oh, God.
And we're just like, oh, man. But as soon as we saw, so my wife kind of nudged me, so we started talking to the kids, so they didn't look out the window. And all I could think, and I do not know, but all I can think is, man, I hope that is not that little girl's right. parents. So this girl was maybe 5 or 6. Like, she was tiny, tiny.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Actually, I just remembered I would say died. But last night, I had to fill out some paperwork, I'll say. So I was here for like till like 7-ish.
All right.
And then I was being lazy, didn't want to get on the light rail, so I called an Uber. So we downtown, and we're getting on kind of like, I don't know how to, like right there, like Olive, I guess, where like it's covered up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So okay. A lot of people get over that back left lane backs up because of Mercer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there, and me and the driver kind of having an intense conversation, and out of nowhere, there's this loud screeching, and this car is doing like a 360,
whoa!
Like slams into two more. I mean, I kind of completely forgot about it until right now. I mean, I my heart was about to beat out of my chest.
How close was this to you?
I mean, he was like passing us. I don't know if he's trying
spinning.
To get him. Right. As he passed us, you just, you know that sound. Just like,
yeah.
And then boom, boom, and then he started to pull off and drive off, and then
what?
Other people, yeah, it was...
What?
It was wild.
Did people block him in, or did he manage to take off?
He honestly, I'm assuming, I don't know, I don't want to say anything, but like,
right.
Maybe it was a medical thing or something, because he like kind of pulled back around.
All right.
It was chaos.
Jesus, man.
That is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, you could see it right now, like in my eyes. I've been like, oh my God, I completely blocked that out.
So but you
I mean,
forgot was, about that until now.
Yeah, it was like two cars away.
Did you give the driver 1 star because of the ride?
Oh, he got 5 stars.
Okay.
There was like cars all over, and he was like, I'm going to get us out of here.
Okay. This is what I asked. Can I smoke in your car, sir? How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Butch. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So I was 17 years old in Stockton, California, and I decided we were out with my buddies after a choir performance. They were drinking, we were smoking.
You know what, Butch, I think saying you're 17 in Stockton, California says it all.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to qualify more than that. Like.
Yeah, so I was also a busboy at Mr. Steak, and so I dropped them all off, and the last guy dropped off, I was probably few blocks from my house, but I decided that I was going to drive across town at 1:30 in the morning to meet up with the waitress that was 23.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I ended up falling asleep.
You fell asleep on the way to meet a woman?
Yes. Waterloo Road. I remember like yesterday.
Okay.
Well, I hit the curb, and I woke up when I hit the curb. I jerked the car out, hit a house, came out of the house, hit a fire hydrant, ended up on the other side of the on the curb.
Wait a minute, you went through the house?
No, not through the house. I woke up and I hit the curb, and just as I woke up, I hit the house, and I, you know, I woke up and I didn't know what was. I just pulled the steering wheel to the right, so I went in the house a little bit and came out, hit the fire hydrant, and ended up on the other side of the road.
And
you, on the other side. Yeah.
So you basically, you were aware of that when that happened?
I didn't know I hit a house. I didn't. I know I hit something. And there was water everywhere. Of course, you hit a fire hydrant. So the first thing I did was look in the back seat, and there was a full Schlitz malt liquor beer, and I grabbed that and threw it. And then I was in slacks and a nice shirt, and I didn't have my shoes on. So I ran down the street, called my dad, told him that somebody ran me off the road and where I was at. He said, okay, I'll be right there. This is, like I say, this is 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. By the time I got back to my car, some people had gathered around. Well, the people that in the house was two guys and a girl, and they were drunk. And the one guy was going to beat my butt. Almost said it. The other people got them away from me, and then until the cops came.
And now, did you sustain any injuries?
I had whiplash. About all that happened to me, I didn't have no other injury except for whiplash.
Okay, all right,
and I was in a 71 Charger, luckily.
Yeah, pretty well built.
That's a hell of a car for a 17-year-old.
After you deal with the cops and all that, did the cops buy the story that someone ran you off the road?
The cops did buy the story. They were out there marking the road with their little wheels and stuff. And my daddy, he took me to, he was really making sure I was okay. He took me to the hospital.
Well, sure.
So I didn't get home till like 5:30 in the morning. And then, I think the water saved me because the cops didn't, I think they looked inside, but they didn't really go through the car. And when they towed it to my house and I went through it, there was a few empties under the seats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you got lucky.
Hey, let me ask
you
this. Did you ever come clean to your dad about what happened?
Oh, no, not my dad. My mom, yes. My dad, no.
Well, how much time passed between the time that this happened and you came clean to your mom?
Oh, I was 17. I probably told her when I was maybe late 20s.
And what was her reaction?
She knew something was up, because that was the second time I had a brush of death within the about 6-month period.
All right. Were your mom and your dad still together when you told her?
No. We moved up here. Me and my mom moved up here from California.
Okay. That's the smartest move, because if they're still together and they're in a relationship, anything you tell your mom, your dad's going to find out anyway.
When it's something like that.
And vice versa. Yeah. So that's not.
Kids are small enough, they haven't done anything at that level, but there are certain things that go down, and they know how each one of us react to things. So depending what it is they've done or what they got in trouble for, they'll come to the. Typically, they come to the right parent first.
Yeah.
Right. So it'll be like, I'll tell you what. So my wife, more often than not, will be like, hey, this is what went down. Just so you know, I've already dealt with it. It happened yesterday. And depending on the magnitude, I'm like, babe, I'm glad you waited to tell me. She's like, oh, so are the kids, because they thought you were going to kill them. I'm like, I would have. Would have happened.
And there's some things you'll wait, like, because you don't bailed out of jail. I called my dad. Right?
They would definitely call me.
Right? My mom was always like, don't call me. And then when I fell off that balcony and almost died.
Call your mom.
I gave it a couple days before I called her.
Because she's the over-worried.
I knew how that conversation was going to go, and I'm going to get on a plane right now. You know, I'm like, it's already been a couple days. I'm fine.
And a little note as far as how radio works in our show when you call in. He almost said ass. You can say ass. The way the FCC works is you can't say the word hole. All right? So you can say ass. You can say, that guy's an ass. It hit me in the ass. Man, what an ass.
Mm.
But you can't just use the other word with it. So those are the rules, and most people don't know that, but just so you know.
Because it's crazy, but yeah.
That's just the weird thing that the FCC's put on that. So just, you know, you can say ass. You just can't put both of those words together. Our question, how did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Dancing in September.
Hola. Yeah.
Get down.
I guess you're not voting for Mamas and the Papas.
Sorry, Miles.
Yeah.
You don't have to apologize for not voting for them.
I'm from California.
All right, so in my military career, I've been in like 18 plus years. I've had a helicopter try to kill me 3 separate times since 2016. The second times were in Louisiana because somehow this trash heap has followed me. But the first time I was in Germany and we were flying along. We knew that the number one engine's input module is probably going to chip, which is like metal flakes coming off the gears inside the module.
Okay.
And we're checking the number two engine, so we kind of talked about the emergency procedure as a crew because, like, we kind of knew it was going to happen again. And so we go out, we do the procedure, and sure enough, as I come out of the check on the number two engine, it chipped on the number one. So I'm already in the emergency procedure or the EP, and I look at my co-pilot, and we're all calm. And like, I look at my co-pilot, and I'm like, so do we declare emergency? And he's like, I guess. And he started slowing down. I turn our transponder to emergency. I call Griffin Radar, and I'm like, hey, we're single engine failure. We're proceeding back to the airfield. And they were freaking out more than me. So the controller, who's sitting in a little booth looking at a radar screen, he's like flipping out. And I'm like, no big deal, whatever. And we do all the right things. We do a nice little roll on landing. It's in a helicopter, by the way. Speaking back to the previous caller, yeah, I've done that, landed on rooftops and all that. But besides the point, we go in, and the dudes are all in their Michael J. Fox spacesuits, all the firefighters, and they're like ready to spray us down. I'm like, no, don't do that, don't do that. I had an interview with the police guy. And then when I got to Louisiana, sure enough, the same helicopter's here. And I was checking the number two engine on this. This is like 6-7 years later. I'm checking the number two engine, and the engine health had decreased by too much. So I take it back. I go out and fly it again. It's worse. I come back. I get a phone call Friday night from one of the civilian contractors, and he goes, hey, dude, I don't know who you pray to, but say thank you, because that engine was about to explode and kill you and the other pilot. And I was like, oh, cool. So there was like an inch and a half to 2-inch crack in the hot section of the firewall, which, so if you know anything about jet engines, it's really easy. Suck, bang, boom. So it sucks in the air, it compresses the air, and then it ignites the compressed oxygen with the fuel. And then that's how a jet engine works. And so he's like, hey, you almost died today. And I was like, oh, cool, man. Like, awesome. And so I, like, called my buddy, and I was like, hey, I said the same thing. I was like, pray to whatever deity that you know or want to be friends with, like, and tell them thank you. But if you ever get hurt in Louisiana and you see a Blackhawk with a red cross and the tail number 800 on it, just be like, nah, dog, get me an ambulance.
Do you believe that any of the other crashes that have happened with those helicopters were similar in nature to what you went through?
The one that happened at Fort Campbell last year was not similar. As far as mechanical, I've had some sketchy stuff happen in Egypt and happen in Poland, but civilians are like they'll go to jail if they mess something up or just like skip a step. So
right.
I really trust that our civilian contractors and, helicopters aren't supposed to fly, but, if you got to auto rotate, which we were thinking about on that Germany flight, I was like, there's a lot of farmland in southern Germany, you know?
Oh, we know.
Yeah, we do know.
Actually know that, yeah.
It was kind of disappointing to wake up and the sun is up in Germany. I look out the window and I'm like, it looks like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that was really depressing for a second.
It's honest to God. I was like, come on.
Let's go get some potato salad and start the day. How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode. So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Coming off the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC right after emails on our question, how did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Rick. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hello. Hola.
Hola.
Hola. I was up fishing in Kodiak. I think it was 1980. And it was at night. Stacking gear. I was up on the opposite side of the boat as everybody else was. And, of course, lousy weather, you know, wind blowing. And I was tying the pots up, and, you know, you got to suck your knees in and just use your hands so you can't hang on. I was on the outside edge of the boat. And when the boat rocked, the hydraulic, the crane surged and hit the pots on the other end. So I was like the end ball on the physics death set.
Oh, no.
And I just went, started, it just knocked me off. And I reached out as quick as I could with my right hand. And all I caught was the tip of the middle finger. And it held, obviously, or I wouldn't be here. And the water was between, you know, 29, 35 degrees. And the Coast Guard used to tell us we had 3 to 5 minutes in the water if the, you know, if the shock didn't kill us.
Yeah.
And no one would have seen me because I was, you know, I was out of their view. And by the time they would have figured it out and turned the boat around,
you'd have been gone.
Lost cause. It was a for sure deal. So.
And you caught yourself with a single middle finger.
Single middle finger. And it sprained it, boy. But it held.
That's crazy. How much did you weigh at the time?
About 180 pounds.
All right. So that is pure adrenaline because there's no way you could. Pure someone adrenaline. Just said, hey, man, just hang your middle finger. It wouldn't happen. But
how much longer did you. How much does that make you want to find another occupation?
Well, I guess I wasn't that smart because it didn't.
Well, no, I'm just saying. You know,
but sometimes, if it, or is it just like, hey, man, those are the dangers of the job and you just get back to it, right?
Part of the deal. Yeah. I got back to it.
Okay. That's where you and I are different, but I understand your reasoning, but I'm like, yeah, I think I'm done after this mm-hmm. run, man. That's
many close calls. I mean, many. It was ridiculous.
Now, have you ever seen anyone go overboard in the years that you were fishing?
Yeah, we were at the dock in Dutch Harbor, and one guy went over, and of course he had his inflated coat on and coveralls, and just to show you how bad it was, we were right there immediately. And he couldn't pull himself up, and so I had to lean over and pull him up hand over hand. And he probably weighed, you know, 250 pounds soaking wet, and got him on board. We got him in the shower. He took a super long hot shower, and he was cold all day long.
Yeah. You know. I bet. How many years did you do this?
I did it like 4 years.
Okay.
You What's know? The craziest thing you ever found in a pot?
Let's see. Usually we just found, besides the crab, octopus, and halibut.
So halibut get in there and try to eat the bait, too. That yeah. seems like a small trap for the size of well, a halibut.
Do you, say you find a halibut in there. Me, personally, I think halibut's delicious. I mean, do you guys, like, separate that and say, hey, we're cooking this bitch up later, or you just throw it back in?
Well, technically, we weren't supposed to keep them, but, you know, the halibuts usually end up dead by the time they're battering around on the spines of the king crab. So,
Yeah, makes sense.
Unofficially, guys would usually dress them out, roll them up, put them in the freezer, and then we'd cook them up later.
Yeah, I would, man. I would too, come on.
Don't waste that halibut.
If you worked in that fishery, do you know why? Like, why is barred eye snow crab so much better than, like, other snow crab?
Oh, barred eye is better because it's a healthier specimen, where the opelio are kind of this tiny little, you know, they got all kinds of fungus and stuff growing on them, and they don't look that appealing for starters, so it's not the best marketable product, you know, where the barred eye look nice and beautiful, and they call it snow crab, and the king crab legs, of course, look real impressive because they're huge.
They do. I always thought of, like, snow crab just being snow crab, and then obviously I watched Deadliest Catch for years, but then I, like, only recently I realized, like, oh, barred eye is just that much better.
Yeah.
Less fungus.
Barred eye is way bigger than the little peleos. And the peleos, you'd get hundreds of them in a pot. And I won't say what we called them because they were usually a very tiny bit too short. So you had to sort through hundreds, and you ended up anywhere from 30 to 90 after going through hundreds and hundreds. So it's like,
did you have to measure each and every one of them?
Well, yeah, when they're if they even look close, you measure them, because otherwise you get fined. Everybody gets fined, the skipper, right, the crew.
Oh, damn.
And yeah, they confiscate the whole catch. Yeah.
That's
a lot of incentive not to cheat.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah,
of course.
Money goes a long way, man.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Doug. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
I've been listening to you guys for 17 years. It's my first time calling in.
Well, nice, man.
Wow. We appreciate that, man.
Yep. You guys helped me through some hard times in high school, so I appreciate it.
Also known as high school?
Yeah. Now you're married with kids.
Not married anymore. Still got the kid, though.
All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
You win.
That's the way to do it. Get married, have a kid.
Then you can move on. I'm just going to take this kid, and we're going to enjoy life.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I went to culinary school in early 20s, and we had a field trip to go to, I think, a chicken butchery factory kind of thing to learn the whole process of breaking down chicken and mass. And in culinary school, you always had to dress up in your chef whites,
yep,
whatever you want to call them. So we had to go on our trip in our chef whites. So four of us or five of us load into a car, and we, I don't know if you guys know Renton at all. One of the intersections in the state is the right by the Barefoot Java. I don't remember the name of the roads down there, but it's just the worst intersection.
Do people think that you're a car going to a Klan rally?
That one, it gets even better. So we're driving through this intersection, and someone T-bones us who ran a red light going roughly 40 miles an hour. And this car is driven by a group from an old folks home. There's like four of them, all 80 plus, going to the grocery store or something. And they T-bone us going 40 miles an hour. And they're going to pin us into a pole going that fast, which is basically a death sentence. But the car next to us in the other lane going the same direction was a landscaping crew who actually pushed the old folks home car off of us and kept us from getting pinned. So we just did like 8 spins and hit a pole.
8 is plenty. So, you don't need to, yeah. Once you hit 8 spins, you don't need to embellish that.
We didn't even know. So it's so slow. It felt like one spin to me in the car.
Right.
And then when we got out, people, all the witnesses are like, these guys span around like 8 times.
But was everyone okay
in the car? Yeah, everyone in the car was fine. I think the driver had a concussion and glass cuts all over her face.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I was the one that got pinned against the pole, so they had to jaws the life my door off to get me out.
And but you're conscious the whole time. What is that like? I mean, watching these guys roll up with the jaws of life.
Honestly, I was afraid. Everyone tells you that when you're that high on adrenaline, you can't feel pain.
Yeah.
So the whole time I couldn't feel pain, but I was afraid of how much pain I was going to be in.
Right, right.
It's kind of, so as they're coming in, I was just so worried that my leg was broken or something, because it was actually like kind of pinned in between the door and the chair. But once I got the door off, I was able to walk out just fine.
All right. So none of you guys made a poo-poo platter or anything?
No, but it's a good going joke, because I have an old, what do you get when you get an old folks home car, a landscaping crew, and a car chefs together, and you get a pin chefs, basically. So,
okay.
Doug, you'll appreciate this. You're talking about wearing your chef's whites, right? Which I know the culinary students always do. Well, worked in restaurants, worked as a cook, and I'm walking into work one day, and I got my chef's coat on, but I'm wearing black pants, all right? And when I get up, I'm waiting at an intersection, and at this intersection, there's a bus stop, and at the bus stop, there's 2 or 3 people. But this one old brother looks at me, and it just keep in mind, remember the Karate Kid crane pose?
Yeah.
Right? So this guy looks at me and announces to the world and anyone that would listen, brother knows kung fu, and then stood in that dumbass position. And I'm looking at him like, brother, I'm a cook.
But he didn't use the word brother.
He did not use the word brother. It was a straight up N-bomb, but yeah. Yeah, but he was like all impressed, like, brother knows kung fu. Well,
there's that one comedian who's like, every neighborhood has a karate man.
Oh, yeah. He thought I was the karate man. I'm like, I'm not the karate man. Even in kung fu. Not even karate. He went straight kung fu. Then he's standing there on 1 foot with his arms out.
Every neighborhood's got a karate man.
You know when you get into something, like you're into it? I was at a wedding for one of my cousins. One of his college buddies was there. And he was just kind of that guy. You know what I mean? Like, not bad, but like, he'll be the drunkest one there. You'll love him. He's awesome. So at one point, I go over to the bar to get a drink, and I just hear him explaining to my mom and my aunt that he now practices karate.
Did he call it Kira?
I also heard him say it like three times. Like, me and my uncle are just like elbowing each other. Like, are you listening to him?
Kirate.
And he's like correcting my mom and my aunt. I was like, oh, get it, man. Yeah.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Peyton. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I'm going to give you a long story short. I was in the Army. I was a helicopter mechanic. And early on in my career, I was deployed to Afghanistan, Bagram. And I was on the night shift. And me and a couple of my buddies, we went out walking to work. And all of a sudden, the alarm went off. Incoming, incoming. And so we got down. And we were just watching. And all of a sudden, we see the CRAM. They're shooting stuff in the air. And all of a sudden, I see this dot. And I'm like, huh, that's weird. And I keep watching, and the dot gets bigger and bigger. And I go, that's not right. And, of course, and then I realized what it was. I yelled RPG, even though it wasn't. A rocket was coming over towards me and my friend. So we all take, like, three steps. We were running as fast as I can. I'm watching. I see the rocket hit the parking lot in front of me. It tumbles and scrapes across the road where I was standing. Luckily enough, it didn't explode, but, you know, at the time, I didn't know that.
Of course you didn't know that.
I am just running and running and running, you know, the adrenaline. I don't think, I'm not a very fast runner, and I'm 6'5". I'm a tall, lanky guy. I'm like Gumby. That was my nickname. And, you know, it was pretty crazy. Because, you know, I've never experienced anything like that. You know,
most people have not.
Not even 20. I was just going to work. It's basically how I was thinking of it. And, and then there was other moments. But that was basically the one that was the craziest.
Now let me ask you this, right? So this thing lands, like it's rolling across the parking lot, but it does not explode. So now what? Because there's this unexploded ordnance sitting in the parking lot. Like, what's the next step?
The worst part was it was right next to all the barracks. So they had to bring EOD out. And EOD comes and they said, okay, well, this is like an hour later. They got there and they blew it up. And their reports were like, CRAM exploded in midair. It was actually tumbling in the air, and when it hit the ground, it tumbled more across the parking lot and on across the road and everything.
Was this parking lot at a Target?
No.
Okay. I didn't know if they had those in Afghanistan. They seem to be everywhere.
Oh, that makes sense. Target. Yeah, see. Right. Maybe change our logo in Afghanistan.
There's a big bullseye. Just shot at it.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK. Hello, Sam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I'll try to make this quick. I've had to tell this story to every single person that came into contact with me throughout the night into the morning. So I was pulling a food processor out of the cupboard. I had the bowl that I needed sitting loosely on top of it, so I just grabbed it. The bowl started to topple over, so I went to grab it. And in the half second it took me to look down, there were already globs of blood on the floor because I didn't realize that the sharp metal spinner attachment was sitting loosely in the bowl.
Oh.
So I knew immediately what I had done and what I had to do. I grabbed a rag, wrapped it around, squeezed the ever-living piss out of it, went to the sink to try and assess what I had done, and I took off the rag, and it wasn't a squirt. It was like a water fountain type stream that just shot out of there.
You hit an artery, I'm guessing?
Yep. So I wrapped it back up, somehow got my phone out and unlocked to call 911 because I was home alone. The wife was hanging out with family that were visiting. But thankfully, we live like maybe a 5-minute walk from the fire department. So they were there lickety-split and were very calm. I'm sitting there just sweating bullets. But they got me wrapped up and took me to hospital. First ambulance ride ever. So bonus.
Till you get the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Got to the ER, and that started the absolute worst night of my life. Just with for how much pain and panic. It was a pretty stressful night. But they got me fixed.
Yeah, cutting an artery.
You got to save all your fingers and all that, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my pinky's numb. The left side, or the pinky side of my ring finger is numb, and all the way from there down my palm is numb.
How long ago did this happen?
August of last year.
Okay. Right. Okay, I'll tell you, because I severed the artery in my left arm, and same thing. My half of my left arm from my elbow down to my wrist, the inner part, I guess you'd call it, completely numb for about 7 years. And now all the feeling's back. 89% back, maybe 90%. Okay. But it does start to come back. But yeah, it's a little weird at first.
I have to ask. Your wife's gone. She's with family. You're home by yourself. What were you going to make with the Cuisinart?
Her parents were having their 50th wedding anniversary. And they asked me to make a dip that they really like that I make.
Have you made that dip since?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
With a plastic attachment.
Aha. Okay. All right. Yep. I'm just wondering, Cuisinart, like typically I would just use a knife and a cutting
board. Yeah, it's a very involved thing.
How did you almost die? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello. Hola.
Hola.
I couldn't tell I was on there for a second. Real quick, I was down in San Diego. Some people might know where La Jolla Shores is.
Yeah.
It's kind of a beginner's surfer beach. The waves break for surfers. I'm more of a body surfer all my life. I basically go out there with the kids and splash around. And I'm out splashing around trying to catch a wave here and there out there almost with the surfers. And I'm getting tired because I'm old, and I start swimming in, and all of a sudden, sure as hell, a giant wave, set of waves comes in, and I mean large. And the first one picks me up, and I'm trying to ride it, but it just literally pile drives me head first into the sand, and I lose all feeling in my entire body.
Oh.
And just floating like a coconut. The second wave is bigger, takes me up and slams me on my head in the exact same spot.
Jesus.
Now I'm floating around. I'm conscious. I'm floating around in the water, underwater, holding my breath, which I've trained to do over a lot of years. And I'm just timing it for when I come up. I actually float up and I can grab a breath. And as I come up to grab a breath, I see two people and I say, help, about that loud, help. And I could see the woman looked over, but I went back under, and I was under for a bit longer, and I came back up again, and I just spit it out a little louder, and she saw me. They came over, they grabbed me, and the minute her boyfriend grabbed me, it was like literally a million long needles sticking in every piece of my body all the way through. But thank goodness for those two. I hope they're listening today. They saved my life. They dragged me to shore. And as I was going to shore, I started to get a little bit of feeling back in my legs. They stood with me for a little bit, and I was able to walk out and put a towel on my head as it was bleeding and eventually drive away.
Did you ever go to the hospital to see if there's any internal damage from this?
No.
All right. Oh, you seem okay.
Yeah, I like that.
No, not paying for that. Coming up, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC, and your emails are on the way next in the men's room at KISW.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.